So. We need a blanket for you, no? Nupu, can you please take care of our mother? She's been some chada or something. No, she is always so cold.
No, I'm okay about it.
Really?
Yes.
But you look as if you're freezing. Please take. We want to... Yeah, but we want that it's extra warm for you. But please take, Mataji, because you're freezing. It's too cold for you in Germany. No, when we see our Mataji, we need to take care of our devotees. It's very important. Hare Krishna. Now we need... kannst du das bitte an... Du sprichst Deutsch oder Englisch? Deutsch, bitte. Ein bisschen Stimmung muss. Please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya.
Nityananda Sahodito.
Nityananda Sahodito.
Godaye Pushpavanto.
Godaye Pushpavanto.
Shito Shando Tomo Nudo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Na Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This morning we started our lecture on the subject matter of awakening our spiritual heart. What we were discussing is that when we chant japa, we need to do so with feelings. Only when we chant with feelings will we be concentrated in an automatic way. Now feelings appear in our heart at the moment when we are entering into a relationship with someone. Let us use an example. I have known Dayal Gauranga from the early days when he came to Germany, I believe somehow you were in connection with Hannover, or was it Cologne? Cologne. He came from the Russian or Ukraine to Cologne, and I immediately thought, he is a new devotee, I don't know, and we started to talk with each other. And over the years, we have always taken time to talk to each other and developed a relationship, with the exception of this time when I'm in Munich, because we have so much to do. But at all other times, we developed a relationship, and in that relationship, emotions naturally appeared. When I see Dayaguranga in Vrindavan, for instance, I have a relationship to him, so I begin to happily shout, Dayaguranga Prabhu, you are the best, or something like that, which is natural because there is a relationship. So the moment we enter into a relationship with someone, emotions burst forth from our heart. If we want to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we need to apply the same principle. We need to enter into a relationship with Krishna, a conscious relationship with Krishna, in which it's a very natural for us that emotions and feelings begin to prosper. Now, we talked a little bit about this morning, and today I would like to go deeper into this subject, today evening. See, it's very easy to develop emotions for Krishna or to develop bhakti for Krishna if you are connecting yourself with someone who has already emotions and feelings and bhakti for Krishna. That is, if you connect yourself with a devotee who has this. So the devotees have always expressed themselves in prayers and in songs. We in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition have a lot of prayers or songs, and as we attach our mind to these prayers and to these songs, we will see how nice devotional feelings come up. And I would like to give you an example which I myself have practiced this morning. Here's a very wonderful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's in Bengali, and I will read to you the first line in Bengali and then give the translations. And you can check yourself, your heart, and see if something happens there, if some feelings awaken.
Prabhu tava pada yuge mora nivedana nahi mage deho sukha Vidyadana jan Prabhu tava pada yuge mora nivedana.
This is the song, this is the prayer. And if you want that devotional feelings come into your heart, you just imagine yourself, or you just pray this prayer. O Lord, this is my humble submission at your lotus feet. I do not ask from you sensual pleasure. I don't wish learning, wealth or followers from you. My Lord, I even don't want from you that you give me residence in the heavenly planets. Nor do I wish liberation from this mundane existence. My Lord, others come to you with many desires, but I don't pray for the attainment even of any mystic powers. Now he says what he wants to have from the Lord. Whatever birth I may obtain due to the results of my previous worldly activities, I pray that I may sing the glories of your holy name, birth after birth. You know, whatever is my birth, I pray that I sing the glories of your holy name, birth after earth. This alone is my only hope, my aspiration, my prayer at your lotus feet. Let causeless, uninterrupted devotion awaken within my heart and flow towards you. Let me love your lotus feet as much as I now love sense gratification. Yeah? Boys love girls for sense gratification, girls love boys for sense gratification. So let this love, which I have now for sense gratification, go to you. Transfer my affection from the objects of the senses to your lotus feet. If I'm in danger, or if I'm in success and good fortune or disaster, let me remain equal-minded and let my affection for you increase day by the influence of the Holy Name. Whether I live as a bird or a tiger, in heaven or in hell, let the humble Bhakti Vinod always cherish devotion to you in his heart of hearts. This is the prayer which Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays. And if you wish that your chanting of the Holy Name becomes full with emotion or full with the relationship to Krishna, go to someone who already has this relationship to Krishna. Here you see a very significant difference between bhakti and other yoga paths. In other yoga paths, we do exercises, physical positions, breathing, and different types of sadhana to get somewhere. In bhakti, we do something else. We go to a bhakta, to devotees who have love of Krishna in their heart. And by being together with them, by, you could say, association, we also get this quality into our heart. This brings us to what happens in association. It is said that there are three energies, I mean, there are many energy centers in the body. Three chakras. There's the Muladhara and Svanishtana chakra here. There's the Anahata or heart chakra here. And when you associate, these energy chakras become activated. Let me give you an example from the airplane. I'm often in airplanes. Sometimes I joke that I live in airports nowadays. The only thing which I'm missing is a tent which I can put up in the airport and then, you know, sleep in the tent inside. But maybe I get this for my birthday. I'm so often in airports, it's just a scandal. So just recently, I was flying from America to Russia, yes. And in the airport, there was a well-dressed businessman, and he wanted to study computer, something on his computer, on his laptop. But then next to him, there came a not so well-dressed lady. I mean, according to Vaishnav standards, not so well-dressed. She was really here, almost nothing. At the legs, almost nothing. She must have been much colder than any one of you is. So she sat next to the businessman in her impractical dress. And I could see how all, I was just watching this from time to time, and I could see how the poor businessman was melting and by this lusty atmosphere which emanated through all the pores of this poor lady who was impractically dressed. you know, he began to sweat and he began to look towards her. He couldn't concentrate on his work at all. But there were, at least, I mean, I didn't look for so long, you know, I just wanted to get the idea. There was a contact which happened, which was not verbal. It was on the lower chakras, to say it in a polite words. Non-verbal communication. I think we all know what that could mean. Let me give now a good example, another example, which we all know. Don't we all know when we sometimes walk over the street, we meet someone, and immediately we feel this someone is very sympathetic to us, and we would like to talk? No? I think you all, when you saw Dayal Gauranga, you thought, well, I want to talk to Dayal Gauranga one day. Not one word was there. Non-verbal communication. It happened, the communication happened on the Anahata chakra, the level of the heart. And in some ways, we were some sympathetic feelings were born. Now, when we have association with devotees, here's a very interesting point. There is also not much verbal communication at the beginning, but as we are together with devotees, a non-verbal communication starts, communication from the soul platform, and inside of us, three spiritual qualities or three spiritual feelings are born. I've given you two material examples. One, how lust is born on the lower energy levels, how sympathy is born when it comes from by a heart-to-heart association, it's not born through words. It's born on an energetic level. And now I give you a spiritual example. What happens when you meet devotees, and on that, by that meeting, three things become risen in you. It is you feel about your eternal values, your eternal things, your eternal life. You feel your material life is not that important. Your eternal life is more important. You feel in your heart something like a bliss, a happiness, a spiritual happiness. And you get another thing, that is some knowledge arises in your heart. This is because all of us have these three qualities, Sat, Chit, and Ananda in our heart. And when we meet another person who has very much developed Sat, Chit, and Ananda in his heart, our qualities begin to resonate. The Sat quality, we are eternal, resonates in our heart, and we feel, oh, I want to think about my eternal life. The Chit means knowledge, begins to resonate in the heart of the devotee, and in our heart also, Chit or knowledge comes. And the Ananda, the happiness qualities, are there in the heart of the devotee, and it resonates in our own hearts. Let me give you an example from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which helps you to understand this point very, very clearly. It is, the example is given of Sita. Who of you knows the Sita instrument?
Sitar?
Sitar, yes.
Oh, I used to play earlier, I don't play now.
wonderful. So you, I think every one of us has seen the sitar. Who does not have, has not seen the sitar? Or the sitar? Ravi Shankar? Hast du noch nicht gesehen? Wie bitte?
Ähnlich wie Gitarre.
The sitar is a string instrument which has how many melody strings? 5, 7, maybe 7, huh?
Five.
But then underlying the melody strings are so-called resonance strings. How many resonance? Many. 12, maybe. 12. So if I play on my melody string, then this sound, which has a certain frequency, touches the resonance string and moves them. Therefore the sitar makes this. You have one sound which has a certain sound frequency, physics, huh? And it touches the appropriate or respective resonance string, and then you hear this very full sound. So when you meet a devotee of Krishna who has developed his Sachit Ananda string, so to say, you will resonate in the same frequency, and you will also feel how these spiritual emotions are coming. That happens to you when you go to the temple. Your spiritual resonance is awakened. That's why you feel so happy in the temple. That's why you like the atmosphere so much. That's why you want to come again and again, because somehow by sitting here chanting, by having association with devotees, your spiritual qualities are awakened and begin to sound. Do you understand this? Good. So if we have association with devotees, our own spiritual feelings, that's my point, are awakened. Now I have a god brother who has departed. His name is His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who once returned from a lecture tour through Africa. And he was asked how he had spread bhakti in the hearts of the Africans. And he said he gave them an example. He asked them, the Africans, when do you start to cry? The Africans said, well, when someone in the village has died, and there is a condolence meeting, and everyone cries, and then when we see everyone is crying, we also cry. Have you made experience of this? You go to a meeting and everyone cries, and something comes in your heart, and a sad mood, a tearful mood is born by the association. So the similar thing happens when you meet devotees of Krishna. Not that you cry, I hope not. Well, there's nothing wrong in crying for Krishna, but not that you, some mood comes in your heart, something begins to resonance. So if you want to make advancement in bhakti, please plan your path not independently from the devotees. You have to plan it in full dependence with devotees. That's very important. Otherwise, bhakti you can't get from a book. Bhakti you can't get from a process even. Bhakti only comes from the heart of a devotee into your heart. That's how bhakti travels. You know, when here in the towns in Munich we want to have water, we need to come to the, what is it called, water faucet? Open the water faucet and then the water comes out. So bhakti also comes through the devotees. I want to give you now six rules for successful chanting of japa. If you want to improve your japa chanting, these six rules will help you. And if you are a note taker, this is a good moment to take notes. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is a guidebook for japa, we find the following verse. Mana sangharanang shocham monam mantra ta chintanam avyagratvang anirvedo japa sampati hetava. In order to reach perfection in chanting japa, the following six principles should be observed. First principle is concentration. When you sit down to chant your japa, you need to bring your thoughts together and focus them on the sense of hearing. This is the first thing. I would like, because this is a practical workshop, I would like to request you to do this most important exercise with me, to bring all your concentration to the hearing. May I know who does not know the Hare Krishna mantra here? I believe everyone is familiar with it. Okay, they are all our devotees, our congregation. Very good. So I want to request you again to do with me the practice which we have done a little while ago, that is to concentrate on the hearing. You know, just like it sounds very easy, but it is not so easy. So let me help you a little. I will make now one sound and I request all of you to just concentrate on hearing this sound. Now hearing means you experience the sound. The sound is produced outside of your hearing. It enters into your ears, moves the eardrum, and then gets translated into some sensations in your hearing nerves, and then you experience the sound which was outside. You experience it inside. Please just concentrate on one sound, on this sound, and just experience hearing it. It means bring your whole concentration from all the senses, like the eyes with which you look now at me, or the sensation which feels the cold. Bring all your concentration to your ear and listen to this sound, please. I will do it again. I will do it a third time, because it helps us to gather the many thoughts which we had this day and the many impressions just on concentration. You can hear it very long, it's still on. Okay, so now I request you to stay at this place where you are now concentrated and chant with me the Hare Krishna mantra. I will do it, and you should just absorb the sound vibration. I will just once do it alone, and when I give you a sign, then we do it together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. I'm totally with the experience of hearing. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. This is the first rule. You concentrate your attention on hearing. That means you switch off your concentration on anything else, on looking around, on feeling maybe some sensations in the body. All this is no longer important when you do japa. You withdraw really from the outside world and bring your whole attention to the experience of sound. It's very important, this word, experience of sound. You don't want to think about the Hare Krishna mantra. You want to experience sound vibration which will work on your consciousness. The second rule is cleanliness. When you do japa, you should practice cleanliness. Now, this means two types of cleanliness. Outside cleanliness, it means before japa it's good to have taken a bath so that the body is clean, and to go into clean cloths which have no natural, which have no, you know, they don't smell, in other words, from sweat or anything else. It's also not good for japa to have so much perfume in the dress. I'm saying this because some of us are in the business world and they may put tons of perfume on them. That's not so good because it's diverting the attention. So have a So be externally clean and don't smear any so much perfume into your clothes. But we all know that much more important than external cleanliness is internal cleanliness. We become unclean internally when we have unhealthy emotions like anger, for instance, or envy towards someone, or zavist is envy, yes, zavist, yes. Then we become internally unclean, and this internal dirt sticks much more to us and much longer to us than any external dirt like dust or sweat or grease or anything else. Do you know when a person is angry for 1 hour, it takes the body half a year to get rid of the poison which is created? you're 1 hour angry, I mean really angry, like, you know, with it. There is an experiment which I read in Psychology Today. It's an American journal on psychology, where they made an experiment with one man whom they made angry for a few minutes. I don't know what they did with him, but they made him really angry. And then they asked him to breathe on a glass, you know, not exactly a window, a piece of glass. And then there was the condensate of his breath. So they scraped this off and gave it to a guinea pig. And the guinea pig died. It was not a Hare Krishna experiment. It was in some laboratory. Versuchsschweinchen, sagt man, glaube ich, ne? Versuchsschweinchen. So, sie sind so wie Meerschweinchen, so, ne? Versuchsschweinchen. There was a short anger. If you are angry for a whole hour or so, you create tons of poison in your body, and this makes you unclean. I understand everything you say, really. So, when you wish to chant, my dear devotees, don't make yourself internally unclean with these feelings of anger, enviousness, lusty emotions, because you won't be able to concentrate on your japa. So external and internal, much more important, internal cleanliness is necessary. Not only during the praxis, but also outside of the practice. See, concentration is something which you do during the practice, but cleanliness is something which you do outside the practice as well as during the practice. When some unwanted thought comes, and you will see, when you do japa, sometimes you are tested. It's like, vroom, vroom. You thought, well, now I will meditate, now everything will be peaceful, it will be a clear sky. Ha, 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 ha. No, Maya will come and look at this, look at this. Some devotees have reported when they started to chant, more pictures came than before. That is on the initial phase. My spiritual master used to say, when you start cleaning, then the dirt, which was previously not visible, becomes visible. I think some of you have apartments and you are very busy and you don't have so much time to clean. If you start cleaning, my God, under the bed, oof, my, you know, and everything is. So if you start cleaning your consciousness, you will see all the things which were buried there. You will see all the dead corpses coming out carcasses. Third rule, very important, my dear devotees, control of speech. This is outside of the practice, we should not talk prajalpa. Prajalpa means nonsense talk, and of all nonsense talk, the worstest nonsense talk is to glorify yourself. I'm so good. I'm so talented. And I did this, and then I did that. And then I made this very good impression, and then I. The more a person says I, the more he is in material consciousness. And the more he says Krishna, the more he is in Krishna consciousness or spiritual consciousness. The word I is often the gateway to material consciousness. Gateway. Now, during your chanting, you should also control your speech, and we have done some experiments on this. You should pronounce the mantra really proper so that the mantra is there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, pronounce it properly. Pronunciation means both your upper lip and lower lip should be active, as well as the tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's control of the speech. And one very important other rule is, when you chant, don't interrupt your round. Sometimes we chant together and an idea comes in our mind. Oh, Prabhuji, how do you spice halava? and we begin to talk and interrupt our conversation with Krishna. One Guru Maharaj, Lokanath Goswami, was chanting japa together with his disciple Narottam Das Thakur. Now, all of a sudden, as they were chanting japa, a farmer came with a glass like this to Lokanath Goswami and said, I'm so thirsty, can you please give me water? Lokanath Goswami continued to chant. The farmer again said, Baba, Baba, water, water, Pani, Pani. Lokanath didn't interrupt his chanting. So then Narottam, his disciple, thought, this farmer will keep on bugging my spiritual master, better I go, interrupt my japa, go to the well, put some water inside, pacify him, and then there is peace. So he did this. He got up and said, and he, Hare Krishna. And Lokanath Goswami went to the well, gave that cup to the farmer. The farmer said, thank you, and went away. Then after 3 or 4 hours, Lokanath Goswami finished his japa. He turned to Narottam and said, why did you interrupt your talk with Krishna? You were talking to Radha and Krishna, and then this farmer comes. The farmer could have gone to the well, and he knows, he's a farmer, filled his glass. Why did you interrupt your talk with Radha Krishna? You are not capable to live in Vrindavan. Go? How do you say go? Go. No, chalo jao, chalo jao, go, go. Narottam was crying, oh, Guru Maharaj, I thought I would make it easier for you. Then Lokanath Goswami said, you don't have to go. I just wanted to say, when you chant, you must control your speech. You are at the moment discussing with Radha and Krishna. You're making a relationship with them. You should not interrupt. You know, if I talk to someone who's important, I don't interrupt it. If someone phones me, that is something which I feel is so disturbing in the way the Western culture develops. You know, everyone is all the time accessible by mobile phone. I sometimes talk to people on, and then they get more, then they have mobile phones all the time ringing, ring, 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 every 2 minutes, ring, ring. Then how do I feel? He's always talking on the mobile phone. I feel I have come 300 kilometers to be with this person. I have given so much expense and so much travel, but he's always with the mobile phone. I guess I'm not important to that person. This is what Krishna feels when you always interrupt your japa with mundane activities, mundane talk, mundane this and that. Of course, you know, when your father dies next to you and you do japa, then, you know, there are exceptions, but, you know, or you know what I mean. But generally, control your speech with proper pronunciation, with a, and then uninterrupted japa, and the third is outside of the japa, avoid nonsense talk, especially self-appraisal and also criticism of others. Oh, so much, the mind gets so much waves if we criticize others. The mind is always wave after wave, or talk bad about others, involve ourselves. Keep your mind clean by not talking criticism about others and entangling yourself. Then, fourth rule. Are you still with me or is it too much?
We are with you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Remembrance of the purpose and meaning of the mantra. This is called mantrata chintanam. It means if you chant the mantra, you should know what is the purpose. Why do you chant the mantra? You chant it to please Radha and Krishna. What is the meaning of the mantra? It is, please engage me in your service. You should be aware of this. Otherwise, you might enter into a routine which is automatic and mechanical. Now I come to the last two rules. I have to just look it up in the Sanskrit. Avyakata. You should have a peaceful mind when you chant. So, peaceful means in Sanskrit here, avyagradvang. Avyagradvang means unconfused, steady, cool. You should allow the chanting the required time. You know, don't be in the, oh my God, I have to chant. I have to finish in 10 minutes. Be peaceful. Don't rush. No hurry. On the spiritual plane, there is no anxiety. Praise Krishna. And the last is anirvidha. It means you should have an optimism in your mind. Don't allow any depression in your mind. Oh, I will never reach the goal. Oh, I'm so discouraged in my spiritual life. Be positive, be joyful. By chanting, you will make connection with Krishna. This is a reason for being optimistic, and so on. Don't allow that a depressive self-judgmental, guilty, despondent, discouraged and dejected feeling is with you. You know, there is something in the chanting. Whatever you have in your mind while you chant, that will become true. The power of the mantra, the power of the sound vibration, will make everything which is in your mind while you chant true. If you think, I will become a devotee, I will become Krishna conscious, by the power of the mantra it will work. If you think, I will never make it, my life is so depressive, no one likes me, I also don't like me, and so on. This will become true. I want to give you my favorite example. Who has an Apple computer here? Yeah, amongst you. Muni, no Apple computer?
Dell.
Apple computer is developed by a bhakta. Stephen Jobs, the developer of Apple computer, is that correct? Stephen Jobs? Steve Jobs. He was a bhakta in the Hare Krishna temple in Boston. Bhakta means a newcomer. And when he was washing the dishes, he thought, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I would like to make a lot of money. This dishwashing is not my cup of tea. Oh, maybe I should develop some electrical computer. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And it came true. I have seen in my own life that now I became a monk when I was a child, when I was 16 years old, very young boy, and I was very immature when I was young, and I had many material desires, and I remember every single desire which came into my mind when I was chanting was fulfilled. One day I chanted and I thought, wow, Germany is so boring. I would like to be in Afghanistan. You know, as a bhakta, as a young man, not as a swami. I'm trying to be to control my mind. And then one day I was in the desert of near Kabul, surrounded by dromedars. Dromedars are like camels. I remember, if you allow me to tell the detail, I had gone into the desert to pass nature's, to answer nature's call. And I had come to where the, and all of a sudden all these wild camels were around me and were very angry at me because I had gone to the wrong place, you know. And they, one camel was especially aggressive. And I remember, I thought, my God, this is because I thought of Afghanistan when I chanted. Now I'm in this situation. I will never again think of something crazy when I chant. I remember that. I was really in danger, you know, because, and I couldn't. Anyways, I don't want to get into the details. I couldn't run away at that moment. I was stationary. So this is when you chant and you have thoughts in your mind, then these become fulfilled, even if they are bad, foolish thoughts. So please when you chant, be full of optimism. Have good Krishna conscious thoughts and they will be fulfilled. I think Stephen Jobs should have thought about Krishna and love for Krishna. Then the world would have been saved from Apple computer. Hare Krishna. I'm a non-computer user, so please forgive me my that I have not yet seen the full value. So these are six roots. Would you like to have them once again? No, six. Six, you, please hear. Concentration, first rule. Cleanliness, second. Internal and external. Third, control of speech. Thank you. Fourth, remembrance of the purpose and meaning of the mantra. You know, when you chant, remember, why am I doing it and what is the meaning? The next, fifth is peace of mind. Yes, peace of mind, yes. It means unconfused, deliberate, unoccupied. And it also means not to be in a hurry. Allow it the required time. No, and the last was optimism. Yes, optimism. Mm-hmm. These six principles will make give perfection to your chanting. It will really make your chanting very good. But I return to my original point, and I want to make an exercise with you. My original point is really that you should chant with a feeling of relationship to Krishna. I would now request one of you to give me the Bhagavatam, first canto. Yes, Bhaskara. And then I want to make an exercise with you. Danke. 1, 13, 10. Yes. I needed this information. Once when Prabhupada was asked, how should I chant my japa, Prabhupada had answered that you should chant as if Krishna is present before you and listens to your chanting. So I would like to now make a little exercise with you. I would like to do a little meditation where you chant as if Krishna is present before you. I would request you first of all to look at this picture of Krishna there, where Krishna Shakti Prabhu is sitting, this big picture of Krishna. Please look at his eyes, the smile. Some of you might have a personal picture of Krishna which you like very much. I, for instance, have this. It's not now with me. It's on the cover of Unveiling His Lotus Feet. I like this very much. Or you might have seen a deity which you like very, very much of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I want to request you now to sit properly. I will ask you in a moment you can close your eyes if you wish. And please, inside of you, see your favorite picture of Krishna. Maybe it is that picture which we looked at. Maybe you have a temple, a Radha Krishna temple, where you really like to see a certain deity. Or maybe you have seen good pictures of Krishna. Krishna knows you very well. He knows the movements of your mind. He knows if you are serious or when you are not so serious. Imagine that you want to make Krishna happy by your chanting. And knowing this very well, you should now, I request you now to chant for a minute or so. And I will give you a sign in one voice with me. I will first chant alone and then we shall chant together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. I think what we should do is, we should ask our Raghavananda to please take that picture and just stand here. It's much easier because some of you are a little tired, I can see. I can understand this. And maybe, can we hang it up there? There's a nail. Yeah. Oh, yes, on the donation box. Yes. That is much, much easier because that's such a nice picture of Krishna. Can you all see? Yes. That's good. Thank you very much. You are technically very expert. So the idea is we will fix our attention on Krishna and we will bring our chanting into a mood or into a modus where we chant with a feeling of a relationship to Krishna. In other words, we chant with the idea to make him happy by our chanting, and to chant to him. No? So we can do this again. It's easier because, see, when we do meditation, I don't like to do this so much in the temple because the devotees are not used to it, and then I will be in Mangalananda's play. But I'm a trained person who brings people into a meditative state, but I don't, in the temple, I just don't feel it's the right place to do that. So we can do it in the bhakti way by looking at the painting of Krishna. So please, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. One more time.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you. So this is a very easy method to awaken our devotional feelings. It is when we chant while being aware of a relationship. We are chanting to Krishna. We are making a connection with Krishna. We are addressing Krishna. We are aiming our attention towards Him. At that time, our attention goes out of the material world into something else. You must know that the Indian aesthetic arts, for instance of dancing, makes good use of bringing the attention to something and then leaving the ordinary world of experience to go into another. This is done in the Bharatanatyam dance, where the dancer will make a gesture and the audience follows this gesture, and then without knowing really what happens, the audience becomes involved in the story which the dancer dances on the stage. There is a verse in the Natya Shastram, that's the scriptures which are detailing the art of dance. It says, wherever the gesture goes, there the attention goes. No, wrong. Wherever the gesture goes, there the eyes go. And wherever the eyes go, there the attention goes. And wherever the attention goes, there the soul goes. So in mantra meditation, we would translate this beautiful verse into something like this. Wherever the sound goes, there your attention goes. Wherever your attention goes, there your consciousness goes. And wherever your consciousness goes, there it is there where your soul goes. Therefore, this beautiful verse from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which gives us 6 rules to bring our chanting to perfection, starts with concentration or giving attention. Good. This was what I wanted to speak today about. Awakening our hearts with devotional feelings. My tip was, please don't forget to enter the world of prayer. And I would suggest to use 2 types of prayers. One is the authorized prayers of the great souls. And the second advice I would like to give is also using personal prayer. Then we were talking a little bit about how important it is to associate with devotees, because they will make our heart, open our heart, so that it resounds in the Sachit Ananda modus, which you need for spiritual life, eternity, bliss and knowledge. Yes, by association, this resonance happens. I gave you the example of an airplane. In an airplane, what happens in an airplane? And I gave you the example of what happens every day on the street with us when we meet sympathetic people. Now, I also wanted to give you 6 principles of successful chanting today. Tomorrow morning, that's Saturday morning, we will end this little seminar by talking about the quality of our japa. When can we speak as when can we say our japa meditation has attained quality? That will be the subject of tomorrow. Oh, I'm happy. Because I must tell you, I was very busy the whole day, and then I rushed to come here, and I was very happy to see all of you, and I'm now glad that we have finished this session. I want to see now if you have any questions at this moment. And I will try. Bernhard has a question. Munit and Bashkar. Bashkar, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, Bernhard.
I'm very glad that in this seminar the importance of quality is so much focused, because as a slow chanter, I felt always in a certain way like a bad conscience or rushed by the demand that 16 rounds, that's at least the standard. And then I heard or know or watched others chanting the way they chanted. I felt never inspired to do it also the same way. I felt more like I want to withdraw, having my own private chanting, even it might be very slow or in the mind, but it could not be like this. So maybe you can relieve some of us from this kind of pressure of having quantity, because if it would be at the cost of the quality, I would be confused if this is more important.
Mm-hmm, Well, I don't want to now say what I want to say tomorrow, but otherwise you will not come tomorrow. I'm joking.
Can we continue the moral class now?
What is quality in chanting? See, the quality is not slow or fast. If we look for quality, we have to look for, we don't have to look for speed. Quality is something which comes from the heart, where we call out to Krishna in a way where we look for shelter, in a devotional way, in other words. There you will find the quality. There's a lot more to be said on quality, which I will say tomorrow. Now, if you feel pressured, then at that moment you can't bring that devotional quality. You know, devotion is something like love. It doesn't happen under pressure. Imagine you have a child, a little girl of maybe 12 years, and the girl comes to you and say, "Papi, love me now. I have 1 minute time, then I have to go to school." Then you feel, "Mama." You know, and you're confused, under pressure. You cannot love. You can also not have devotion under pressure. You know, so if you feel by a certain number of rounds pressured, that's not good. Therefore, the verse here says you should chant the mantra in a peaceful state of mind, which means not rushed, not bringing it to a certain number, feeling rushed. In India, there was one kingdom. I can't tell you the name, but I can tell you the capital. The capital was Vishnupur. Pur means the town, and Vishnu, the town of Vishnu. So in this capital, there lived a Vaishnava king called Gopal Singh. And Gopal Singh ordered all his subjects, thank you, to complete each day 64 rounds. 64, not 16, 64. Now, Bernhard, imagine the poor farmer who has to get out of bed at 4:30 in the morning so that he can be on the field at 5 o'clock. He needs to irrigate, bewässern, the plants. So he works all day because farmers have this demand. They have to start early and sometimes work the whole day. And then they come back at, then there's a noon break, maybe he has a half an hour noon break where he chants 4 rounds. And then he comes back, he's hungry like a lion, tired, and now he has to chant 64 minus 4 makes 60 rounds. And he has to chant 16 rounds. He has just eaten. It's 7 o'clock in the night. he has to get up at 4:30 in the morning. Can you imagine that he's very enthusiastic? You know, he feels pressured. So the king, now listen to this, Bernhard. The king had spies out. And the spies made sure, Spionskis, yes, that everyone would finish his 64 rounds. If not, you were out of the kingdom. You were resettled. You know, he was a kind, a little bit fanatic, I would say. he would make an arrangement that you would get land somewhere else in another kingdom, and there were people on the waiting list who wanted to come into this kingdom because there were also many advantages in the kingdom. So since that time, there is this telling in Vaishnava circle, a Sprichwort, how do we say Sprichwort? A proverb. Proverb. The proverb says, don't chant Gopal Singh rounds. That means rounds under pressure, because there's only pressure. Only, I think there is rounds with 50 tons of stress hormones, you know. That's not good. At the same time, Vaishnavas have always accepted a certain amount of rounds of, so that they make sure that they chant each day a certain time. Because our mind is so tricky, it will sometimes tell us, no, I don't want to chant. There's a nice movie. And all the telephone calls I can make, and so on. So Vaishnavas have accepted a certain number. I would suggest to do something which Bhaktivinoda Thakur and also my own spiritual master has always recommended. Find a number, Bernhard, which is easily easily reachable, yeah, manageable. Maybe it's 4 rounds, maybe it's 6 rounds, maybe it's 8 rounds, whatever, and do them in the speed where your heart tells you this is the right way to do it for me. And once you do this, you will see how you will become more practiced, and you will chant faster without any lack of concentration. You will see, it automatically happens. You go, it is just, I remember one devotee, she was an opera singer in the Ljubljana opera. And she said to me, I will ruin my voice if I chant 16 rounds. You know, it's not possible for me. I will die. Then I said, don't chant 16 rounds. Chant 4 rounds. Then half a year later, I get a letter. I'm chanting 16 rounds with happiness and pleasure, and I'm still alive. The holy name of Krishna will control you, Bernhard, and give you abilities which at this moment you think are foreign for you. So if at this moment you would chant 16 rounds and in 2 hours or whatever, then you would be maybe in stress. So the scriptures and the saints advise us not to be in stress. For you it will be equally as good if you chant 4 rounds or 6 rounds or whatever is the number which is easable, manageable, equally as good. Don't think you are worse than Sadvata Prabhu, who chants 16 rounds in something like 2 hours or so. Don't. For you, it's Krishna will hear. Yes. This is what the scriptures, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is our Japa master. He wrote this book, Harinam Chintamani, which is a guidebook for Japa. And he advised like that. Okay. There was someone, Bhaskara, I saw. The next was Bhaskara, then Munidji, who's today dressed for becoming a candidate for the president of India. Hare Krishna. Yes, Bhaskara. Yeah. Good.
I had a practical problem, difficulty there.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday also you laid emphasis on chanting, hearing, and chanting by seeing the lady. I encountered problem when I was chanting by hearing. If I close my eyes and hear, then the mind starts going on different pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But if I see and chant, that doesn't happen. But I have always heard more emphasis on chanting and hearing the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, what should I do?
Well, there is one idea in chanting with japa which has the answer to your question. The more senses are engaged in something, the better the concentration is. If I, for instance, when I do japa, then I use my mouth, I pronounce sound, I use the ears, and I use the sense of touch. That's with the fingering, the japa mala. So, if I engage the sense of sight, then there is an extra sense, a third sense, is it the third? No, fourth sense. Fourth sense is engaged, and then more of the mind is locked into the practice. It's more concentration. While, let us say you do something and you want to be with something, but then the sense captures something else, then you are diverted. Don't we all have this experience? We are trying to concentrate in our apartment, and just underneath our apartment is another apartment, and the person puts on the music, and it's loud German folk music, and we try to concentrate on our work, but Marmor, Stein und Eisen bricht, and all these classics, and we just, the sound just pulls our concentration. So when I want to show with this example how important it is to have the senses locked with the practice, because then and only then full concentration is possible. So yes, you can while you do your japa and you feel you have to be it helps you to put your sight on something, you can look at the deities of Krishna. That is Radha and Krishna. That's very much recommended by Prabhupada. He used to send us before the altar and said, sit down before the altar and look at the deities while chanting that holy name. He said like this many times. I remember someone was very confused in the initial states of their spiritual life, and Prabhupada would always send them before the deities and chant. Or as we have experienced yesterday, was it yesterday, where we looked at the letters of the Hare Krishna mantra. That's also how you can focus your eyes. But mostly in our tradition, mostly it is on the deities. Hari, In Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, gives this advice, we should chant and look at the deities simultaneously, at the form. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Siambi Hari, I have seen you, but first was Munit and then you afterwards, after Munit, is that okay?
I just have a question.
For that, okay, then please ask.
Because sometimes devotees are watching Krishna movies during japa. It's a Krishna conscious movie, so in my mind, my sight is focused on
Lila Smaranam.
Watch Krishna movies
through the job. Yeah. I mean, there, in the old scriptures, there's nothing is about they are not mentioned because simply there were no Krishna movies at that time. I mean, I can therefore only give my personal opinion. See, a movie is never really like Krishna, you know. It is, Krishna is all, and the Krishna's pastimes are much more attractive than a movie, especially than these Indian movies with a trick, you know. I saw this, there was a little boy like Krishna, and then there was a paper snake, they had cut it out, and then it came in the movie, you know, ten different hoots, and then and it came out, you know, and you could really see it was made by a human hand, came out, and then Krishna was there, and it just looked so, I mean, it really didn't look like the Krishna Leela. It looked like a very cheap production. A very economic production. No, I can't imagine that in a movie you find a real description of Krishna, but I also don't know movies, you know. And then you hear this. See, ultimately what we want to experience is that at one state, while we chant, we see the qualities, we see the form of Krishna, the qualities and the pastimes coming out of the holy name. Now, if we see a movie, our attention is with the movie, and we will never experience that revelation which comes from the holy name. We will not see the real thing, so to say. It looks to me like a diversion. Imagine, I can imagine, maybe in 200 years all the monks will have their computer, a laptop, and they look at a very fantastically produced Krishna movie. And then they might, while chanting, they might say, Lila Smaranam. I'm meditating about the Lila. But it's not a spiritually produced Lila. It's a Hollywood produced Lila. And therefore, it doesn't have the same spiritual value. That's what I, but I can imagine if we would make a time journey into what is in 200 years, I mean, it's amazing. Already now what we do, I can imagine if some simple monks from 1,000 years back would come into a Hare Krishna temple. You know, yesterday I came here and there were three devotees, everyone with their laptop. You have to be careful. You have to know when to use it and when not to use it. I mean, I once was in the Moscow airport and I saw two people who, they were sitting on the same bench, but they were communicating by the mobile phone. And then, you know, it was too much for me. Then I said to them, and then they look, ah, you are here in Moscow. Really, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, like, because I'm so much, I'm not so impressed by this modernity, and so I just couldn't help it. I didn't know the people, but I thought, what is this? How well do you know each other if you don't know that you are on the same bench on the Moscow airport? You know, you will see people will, it will develop like this if you're not careful. That's of course a great, I mean that was an almost abstruse example. It's not always so bad, but the tendency of modern people is to lose themselves into what is called a virtual reality. Virtual reality is something which is artificially produced on a media. And then when they only have virtual reality, they become unable to live the real reality. You know, they become no longer functional in the three-dimensional space. That's a big danger. Some say that is the secret agenda of people of the leaders of society. But I think that's going too far. That's the Verschwörungstheorie, Hare Krishna, conspiracy theory. I don't think it's correct, but yeah. So, Syam Bihari. This is my answer. I hope it's not the real thing. The real thing is when your heart is purified and you have read Shastras and heard about Krishna, all of a sudden everything will come together in the mantra. So there was a last question for this evening by Munit, and then we will hopefully get a little prashada because we are hungry. Yes.
Maharaj, these six rules that you shared, almost all of them are emphasizing on the deep character of a person. And a person like me, I have a lot of envy and I get angry. And then, I'm in a lot of pressure and I stress. How is it possible for me to forcefully bring myself aligned with these rules and then chant? Because my basic nature and character at this moment is opposite to
this. Little active, overly active, yeah. I think you should know the ideal. And as you know the ideal and continue with what is practically possible for you, you will definitely move towards the ideal. See, that's the... When we hear about all these qualities, we should not artificially imitate them, but we should do what is in our reach. Krishna talks about this in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam by saying that everyone should practice spiritual life according to his adhika. Adhika means eligibility or qualification. He should not imitate the ways of someone else. Imitation is not good. So do what is possible for you while aspiring for higher states, and you will see how you naturally move in the direction. But if you don't know what is the goal, you will not go in that proper direction. For instance, you hear you should have a peaceful mind when chanting, or you should not rush your rounds. So it will happen that sometimes you rush your rounds. My God, I have to finish this. But then you will feel it's not good. Maybe I should aspire to go a little bit earlier to bed so that I can rise earlier. Then I have more time in the morning and then I don't have to rush my rounds. But so therefore it's important to give an ideal and then you can move towards the ideal naturally. Good. But now we want to stop. Thank you very much. Good night. And Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.